You go.
So my name is Gwen Marion, and I'm the Deputy First Selectman, and I'm going to be running this meeting.
Deputy Chair.
Deputy Chair?
Yeah, right.
Deputy First
Deputy First Selectman.
Deputy First Selectman. Yeah.
Neither one. And I'm going to be running this because so that it doesn't look like the current sitting First Selectman is having any kind of influence over the conversation. So I'm calling the meeting to order, and so the first item in the meeting is to discuss and possibly vote on the first selectman salary, and we can't entertain public comment at this point, so this will just be discussion among the selectmen. So would anybody on the board like to start off the conversation?
Sure, I would make a motion that we increase the first selectman salary by to $50,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Matter. Thank you. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Holy
That's my cell phone. So to be clear, I just chose an arbitrary number because I think this discussion will not arbitrary, but a number that I feel is more in line with a lot of different factors.
Clarity for if I could involve for a second. That means you'll likely go back and amend this motion after the discussion based, or
I
you
will not,
could.
but
You
somebody
could.
might.
You could, I guess, at that point.
I could.
Okay.
Thank you. So I think this hearing was very helpful. I appreciate hearing everybody's comments. And I mean, overwhelmingly, I kept track of everyone who spoke, and there were two against, and then everyone else was for in general. Now, of course, we didn't have a common goal as to an amount, and I think it's fair to say that mostly everyone feels that the current rate is unfair and doesn't fit the job that's being done. And so I'm hoping that this discussion will get us to a point where we agree as the Board of Selectmen on what the fair and right number is. So by nature, the first selectman position is not it's not defined as far as the responsibilities, the amount of time that's required. It is a bit nebulous in that sense. The first selectman candidates from each party are selected and vetted at that stage. And if somebody puts a doofus up there, then so be it. And perhaps they're not qualified for the job. In general, I think that's not going to be the case. We've had a good history of that, which people have made comments on. The bottom line is this is a CEO position. So from a qualitative standpoint, $17,000 is not fair. And to tell somebody they're going to be compensated that $17,000 for 20 to 30 hours as a CEO running a town is kind of embarrassing. That's the qualitative aspect. The quantitative aspect is the data that's been put together by Jim Aldridge. And I think this is a good data set. We had previous data sets that were put together by others, and they weren't really representative. And you're not going to find an exact comp. This is not an accountant position. This is not an engineer position where you have years of experience and competitive wages that you can compare. It's not going to be perfect, but this is pretty darn good. And so with an average of $73,000, and a lot of these folks also have health care and retirement. I think even 30,000 would be embarrassing and quite frankly a waste of time because we've put hours and hours and years into this because we don't want to vote on increasing pay because we're the Board of Selectmen. But guess what? It's the right thing to do. And you can sit and worry and hem and haw, but in the end, there's the fair thing and then there's the not fair thing. So in that sense, 73,000 is the average. That's the data. However, going from 17 to 73, I don't think is necessarily the right thing to do for a town that has trouble passing referendum. So I do support a $50,000 number. That is my number that I'm going to put forth. and then we'll look to discuss. And then just, you know, as a human being, you're going to feel underappreciated, and you may form a little bit of resentment, even if you don't want to, if you're just not being compensated fairly for the work that you're doing. So I know that that's not a quantitative thing to do, and perhaps not everyone agrees with that, but in the end, we are human, and, you know, you're putting your heart and soul into this, hopefully, and if you're just not compensated fairly, then that's not fair. Lastly, I forgot to, you know, the 73,000 plus benefits, I do not support benefits, because that's, we don't know where that goes. We can't, the healthcare is out of control. Retirement is a little more predictable, but, you know, we're finding that's one of the hardest things to control on the budget side. And we try our best to keep the budget down as best we can. So, you know, that's one area where hopefully we've learned to tamp that down when possible. I think that concludes my comments.
I want to make one remark based on your last comment, and not necessarily related to the number, but just, you know, we're here talking about an increase in salary, and there's a lot of emotion and feelings and facts and stuff coming from the town. And I wish we got that much participation when we talk about the actual budget, which is orders of magnitude larger. And we've been talking about for the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. So just want to put that out there as well.
Great.
All right. Anybody, would anybody else like to comment on the motion?
I guess.
Bob? I'll,
yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, I guess Tim said he heard two against and the rest were all for. I'm not sure my numbers matched that. I think I wanted to listen very closely, and I thought it did. My sense was that most of us who are listening agreed that something was definitely in line for an increase in the salary, but we shouldn't think in terms of necessarily the incumbent right now, but rather just in general, what that kind of position would be worth for our town, considering how big it is, what our average per capita income is, and let's just look at those parameters. And I think that Sandra Pirog said it very well, as did Dan Buckman, as did others, that it was very well explained. I like the Mr. Silverstein's idea too. We should really not rush into a set salary like 50,000, as Tim has suggested, but rather look at the overall picture. And I think we're all in agreement that we need to be more in line with what our peer-like towns are and raise the salary, but not necessarily to a finite amount like 50. I like somewhere between, personally.
Between what?
Between what it is now and what it could be. I think the fact that 73 is the average does not bear on what is realistic for us now at this time.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Would anybody else like to comment?
Right.
No.
I want to point out a couple things about specifically, you know, brought up that the increase was already factored into the budget that was approved last year. Going back and looking at the workshops, it ended up in workshop number 5 for 2025. It was not clear or transparent that that number was included in the increase in salaries. It's pretty vague, in fact. And you know, we had an in-depth discussion about it at, I believe it was the finance subcommittee or the administration subcommittee. But going back and just looking at what came from that meeting, it was not clear at all what would have what was being approved as part of that budget. I also think that as part of a motion, it would need to consider whether this pay is retroactive or not, given how long this discussion has been going on. It would also need to consider why being retroactive is feasible or valid, and what that means as part of the pay. Knowing that at the time of sign up and at this place, what the amount was to begin with, and discussions were potentially forthcoming. Discussions were had about various stipends, wages at various at multiple meetings throughout the last couple months. The need to consider whether we're actually going to go back and pay the past or whether this would just be moving forward. I would advocate for it just being moving forward, given that we're now just hearing what the town people wanted. We didn't want to discuss it really as part of the town. Nobody brought it up one way or the other.
This is our second.
Well, second, first one this year, I guess. But yes, I agree. This is the second. And we'd also need to include that as part of the discussion moving forward.
That was part of the reason why we tabled it last year, was to give time for the new board to react to this, just to point that out.
Yep.
To your point.
So I'll make.
Sorry, as a new board member, I do appreciate that, because we come in on something and it's something that we're able to discuss and not just, hey, this was thrown in. And it would have been just one of the last things the previous board did.
So
pretty close.
Just to clarify, where you're looking and saying that number was not clear what it was for, it was in the budget presentation documents word that got presented, not the worksheets. You're right.
But
it's not
clear. If the town looks on the website prior to the meeting, they see the packet. The packet did not include any of that information.
It did end up in all the budget documents that were posted before the election. There was a whole explanation, and it was stated in there.
As I recall, there was a big lump sum, and that got divided among a placeholder for the first selectman's increase and Jim's and a couple of other staff people.
That's correct. Yeah.
So even in that case, the exact amount for the first election was
there was no exact amount. We're still in discussion.
Right.
So.
So I'm gonna make some comments. I heard a lot of great comments today, and at the another meeting that we had, a lot of people were talking about how the first selectman salary should be tied to a set of expectations or a job description, and I gave a lot of thought to that, and I can't wrap my head around how that would actually work in reality, because I think no matter how specific you get with a job description, whoever takes on the position, there's always going to be an amount of discretion involved based on that person's personality, energy level, enthusiasm for the job. I mean, should you say, well, that person should attend six community events or four community events? What's enough? Or four funerals versus six funerals? Which one is the right number? Or should that person be attending land use meetings every other week, or just once every 2 months? So who gets to decide what the job description is, and then whose judgment says, well, that job description equals a certain salary level? So I shifted my thinking away from fixing the salary to a job description to more toward an hourly rate. And the first selectman right now is getting paid about $11 an hour, which is $4 below what our Connecticut minimum wage is. So I mean, that's
$6
below. Okay. And you know, that's low. And our current first selectman has said that he puts in roughly 30 hours a week. And that was supported by a former first selectman I had a conversation with last year, who said that she put in between 10 and 35 hours. So if you're looking at, I based my thinking on a 30 hour per week work week, and just ran some numbers and to get what I think is a reasonable salary would be between 30,000 and 35,000, because then you're getting up into the $19 per hour range, 22 hour $22 an hour salary range. And I also looked at some other positions in town, and there are some administrative positions that have nowhere near the level of responsibility or the requirement of the level of knowledge that the first selectman position has, that are getting paid $21, $22, $23 an hour. So I feel that the first selectman should be at least making a comparable hourly rate. So so I would be, and based on also the public comment that we heard tonight, people some people did mention salary ranges that they felt comfortable with, some people didn't, but some of the numbers that people put out were between 30 and 35,000. So I'm willing to support a salary of 35,000 based on this is a position that has a lot of responsibility in town. It's not an administrative position. It's the first selectman signs off on documents, and he is the one who's held responsible for when things go wrong. And so I really feel like the salary should, I guess I can't support a 70 something $1,000 salary, but I can support 35,000 based on the amount of responsibility, based on similar wages that are being paid in town, and based on the hourly rate. So can't support your motion.
All good.
Would anybody else like to comment?
Anything from you, Mather, before I talk?
What's that?
Said anything from you, then I'll.
Yeah, no, I just a lot of great comments tonight. It was great to hear all of it. I think I'll just echo that, just some of the bullet points that I jotted down was that, going forward, it is going to be hard to find people to do this kind of job. I think the notion of the community service just in our culture has shifted to where I think it's just listening to Rodney, not tonight, but just in the past, of all the things that he's done for the town, being on different committees and seeking different grants and things like that. I think the position, and I also will agree, I don't think there should be like a written job description. I think that all of those things easily pay for an increase in the salary. I think that we need to attract people that have good ideas and that aren't going to sit back and say, well, I don't have the time for that. I just think going forward, we should definitely increase it. And I am more in favor with Tim's motion at 50,000. That was it.
Thank you.
So I'm juggling a couple of things too. One of the things that was a sticking point for me previously was the need, like when I set compensation at work, I'm looking at comparables, qualifications, roles and responsibilities, et cetera. And I recognize that that is, extremely difficult or near impossible for this job, provided the elected nature of it. And, as I work through this and I look at the data presented, which thank you, Mr. Aldrich, for that, it is hard for me to apply the qualitative aspect to it without, really doing a significant amount of due diligence, because I think there is a significant amount of variability in how other towns conduct themselves. And so, to take that out of consideration, to say the 73 might be a reasonable compensation, but to really factor it into the aspect of it is a lot of work. It is a lot of time away, from other things, from other potential, more reliable means of your primary job. Let's make that assumption for most. That I do support an increase, and where I land is that I can't define what a reasonable rate is. And then I also think, leaving that there. And then also kind of point B is one of the things that I think was mentioned a considerable amount today too, was an interest in some degree of a town vote too. And then, so I kind of would like to just, bring that into this discussion and see if we would like to, adjust any type of motion towards that.
I'll comment on the town vote piece because it was brought up, and we did I think with last week or 2 weeks ago, did see how much an election in town costs. And it's a significant amount given, you know, you need to do voting the day of, we potentially need to do early voting or mail-in voting or, you know, those other pieces that go with a vote, depending on what the ROP determines is necessary for a particular election or for a particular referendum. And that just draws a lot down, and you know, it's a lot of effort to do something that is a very small portion of the large budget that we're looking at. And to already have 6 votes accounted for, because that's how many referenda we did last year, plus added another one, would be a lot. And I don't know that I can support sending it to the town independent of the referendum, just from a perspective of we need to be able to have the funds to be able to have an election.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask Bryce a question, because I don't hire anybody, but it sounds like you do. So what would be like the typical value that you would put on the benefits and the like the healthcare and the retirement generally?
As like the University of Connecticut uses a standard 28%, 28.5 is the fringe rate for some.
So you take a salary and take 28%?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's important to remember that we're stripping that out of this. So it really would be 73 or wherever our whatever our number is plus 28%. Or factor that in, right? And sometimes we forget that we're taking that out and you're just making this a cap.
Are people taking this position to get the insurance benefit?
I guess I'm just saying the only quantitative information we have seems to be this. I don't know. It's like the closest thing we have to a comp. Again, we're never going to get it exact.
Right.
You know, like when you're hiring somebody, I'm sure you have a really, really good range of where they're going to be. And so, you know, we talk about these round numbers, but I'm just making a comment. Please try not to forget about the value of the benefits that I think we all agree are not appropriate.
Yes. I mean, that's where I sit, but thank you for bringing that in.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything to discuss on this motion? Okay. So the motion on the table is to increase the first selectman's salary to 50,000. If there's no other comments, I'll ask for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Okay,
that's 2.
Motion.
Okay. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay.
We'll vote on, then we can do any new emotions thereafter.
So opposed?
And then
nay.
All right. So, I was confused because I kind of didn't want to go this way. Because
Bob had his hand up.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
fine.
So... Nay.
Go ahead,
and Bob, you voted?
No, he was voting.
Nay.
Yeah, I guess because now what'll happen is then I won't. It'll just go whoever makes the next motion will win the vote. I get it.
Tonight.
I'm just a little slower.
And okay, abstentions.
Strategically.
So
I've lost all control of the actual number.
Well, you can make another motion.
Make another motion.
The floor's still yours, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah. This is
very nice.
This is a long
draw.
I'll move.
Go ahead.
When I'll move, we raise the salary to $35,000 a year per, as you suggested.
Okay, and
35,000.
Okay, motion is to raise the salary to 35,000 per year. And Bob, do you want to include in that motion whether that would be retroactive?
I think it should not be retroactive, personally. But again, I was not present for the initial budget allotment, so I don't really know how to address that issue. If it was not included or meant to be included, then no.
I just want to make sure that's part of your motion, that to raise the salary to 35,000 a year but not have it be retroactive. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it would be effective.
It'd be effective July or whenever the budget passes, I think.
It's in this year's budget. So
okay, well, that's an interesting point of discussion too. And then to add a qualifier to Bob's motion as well,
go ahead and ask Bob if he'll qualify his motion.
Either the effective date, I'm interested in your opinion of, Bob, and then whether we should explicitly exclude benefits as well.
So Yeah, I'll second the motion as is, and we can discuss, and then Bob can amend it. Thank you.
Okay. So David seconds as is.
So as is did not include retroactive pay or what Fred just brought up.
Okay. All right. So the motion is to raise the salary to $35,000 a year, period. Seconded by you.
Right. Okay. No effective date.
Not part of the motion. Would anybody like to
now you can continue with your
comment on this motion?
I would just like to ask like what you guys think for value, because I don't know if you guys put a number on it. Because we know your position, my position matters, but I'm just curious, like just what do you think? Given all the factors.
I think there's a couple bits that have run through my mind in recent days, and one that I'm latching onto more than others is there's now seven of us at the table. There used to be, I believe, five, right? Was that the last
previously?
Yep. There were five.
Yeah.
Between seven of us, at what point could we potentially take some of the responsibilities that the first selectman is being given and be able to divide and conquer those between each meeting to come back and be able to have, hey, we're doing things, and you know, ultimately we'll have to come back and vote on it regardless. But at some point, we all report back to that first selectman, and you know, are doing things that way. It's not all of his time that's being taken up. And I know that it has nothing to do with the amount, but it's a thought that's been running through my head.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's a discussion we would have to have with the first selectman to see what he does and see if there's anything that we could do.
Because that would. It kind of takes the conversation from a different angle of, hey, he's only got so much time to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's the value that we put on that time? But you know, we're all here to better the town, and we value the mostly volunteer effort that goes into bettering the town. So what more can we do to help him do that?
Yeah, maybe attending meetings. Yeah, maybe CROG meetings or COST meetings or CCM or whatever. I know those must eat up a lot of time. So
they can,
absolutely. We could talk about that. All right. Any other discussion on the?
I know they didn't actually answer your question, but it was something that like has come to mind.
Do you want to answer?
That's where I land on.
Otherwise, we're just going to vote on that,
right? Well, that's where I land on the lower like 30,000 in my head is like the hey, and I think it was brought up as part of the inflation discussion is if you consider that one data point inflated. But I think there, when we were talking about it at the subcommittee, there were also other data points along the way that were, hey, if we consider this being you know, raised along the way, somewhere around 30,000 becomes that number of you know, historical raises to land broker from where we started as a town. And I think that would be a, you know, given that also aligns with like the minimum wage aspects, aligns with potentially thinking about how we can make this a whole board effort. You know, I think that's about where I would land. So not quite at the 35, but below that.
Thank you. You brought up an interesting point, which I don't think we discussed. Is there automatically a percentage raise per year?
That was my question. Well, so there's a discussion every year, right? We had I sat in, there was a discussion in October. I think I was the only one here. There might've been one or two on the phone where I actually got kicked out because you had an executive session for the contract or the union. But there is a discussion every year about what those raises are. So those are, valuable discussions, and Gwen was the only one who didn't actually vote on her own raise. You know, those were all part of that discussion as well.
So no, it's not automatic.
No. Okay.
Because it's part of, I believe it's the administration budget, correct? The first selectman salary is?
Yes.
Is, okay. So every year we look at every single department's budget, and so that will be reviewed every year as part of looking at the administration.
Really above and beyond. We could have just voted it.
Well, it was a placeholder.
That's cool.
It did. There was no percentage. There was a percentage for the first the selectman of town, and there was a placeholder for first selectman that wasn't decided yet.
Yeah.
Not in what Bryce currently looking at, but the packet for that meeting when the selectman voted on.
Thank you.
Don't you find it?
There's no placeholder.
That was the packet for October, Ronnie.
There's no placeholder in this year's budget. Yeah.
That's correct.
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 But we did have it for this. We put it in this year's budget.
Oh, no. I'd say there was a placeholder in the discussion for what percent should that first selectman salary be, which is what refired this discussion up.
All right. Any other discussion on this motion, which is to increase the salary to $35,000 a year?
Bryce, did you have a number?
I didn't know. I'm comfortable around the 35, I think.
35 is the number?
We'll see.
I think this is it, bud.
This is it. This is it.
Well, just to clarify, this doesn't include any, at the moment, anyway, unless Bob decides to amend his motion, this does not include any
effective date, benefits, et cetera. So
benefits can stay as is, effective date.
I think another motion will have to be made after this one is acted on for that. All right, so I'm going to ask for a vote. Then all in favor of the motion to raise the salary to $35,000 a year, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Two. Opposed? Four. Okay. Abstentions?
And Bob has
no. I think he voted.
Bob was an aye.
He was an aye.
Oh, yeah.
And are abstentions?
One.
Okay. Okay. So the motion failed. Does anybody want to propose another motion?
I think if Bryce is writing before he's about to say out loud.
Want to make sure I just
you have your hand up for a reason, Bob. Okay.
No.
Yeah, your little yellow hand is up.
Well, I think Zoom includes features where if you raise your hand on the video, it'll raise your hand as an emoji.
Oh, no.
So I think that's what happened.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Somebody willing to make a motion?
Bryce will make a motion to increase the first electman's salary to $35,000 effective 7/1 or upon the passing of the budget to not include benefits.
Okay.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you. To include or not include benefits.
To not include.
Not include. I'm sorry, I just didn't hear you.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
David seconds. All right, is there discussion on the motion?
I have a question.
Yes,
what if the person who accepts the position does not want or benefits?
Does not want benefits?
Hmm.
Well, this motion says does not include benefits.
No benefits included.
No, it does not.
No benefits, Bob. So I'll just say it one more time. My motion was for $35,000 a year, effective July 1st, or upon the passing of a budget to not include benefits.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Yes.
Yes, I want to be in the middle.
I appreciate your negotiations. At this time, I do not. Why? Like, I mean, I guess, you know, I think that's kind of one of the things is defining the rate that I do see some of the points you made. But
I think the value of taking away the benefits has about, at a 28% of 35,000 would be about $9,800 of value that is lost. You know, and when you're looking at, you know, the quantitative data, unless we have a different set where that's making this erroneous data. Does anyone have any data that makes this erroneous?
There was concerns raised that this was not an apples to apples comparison, given the
lack of qualitative
areas that you've been.
I mean, if we have better data, then that's fine. But I mean,
I think this is as good as we're going to get
without tabling it. But I think one of the things. Oh, we're not okay.
And by the way, I'm not negotiating for myself. I'm just negotiating for the town what I feel is the best based on fair compensation for a CEO that, you know, is running an entire town and should be compensated for time away from their family and their job. And you could be the first selectman next, away from your family for hours and hours.
No, and I think when the advocacy for benefits
just not getting
kind of it makes me think that, you know. One of the arguments we've had is that this would increase somebody away from their full-time job. If we were then offer benefits, I feel like it might pose the potential to instead pull from the opposite direction of somebody without a full-time job, that full-time job presumably carrying benefits.
I don't, that's part of it. I am not supporting benefits.
Yes. Yeah.
But the cash is the compensation. I think I'm just saying, like, $35,000 without benefits is
the full cost value would be
The full
and
cost
I, one of the reasons that I don't
plus
think
nine, plus 9,000
that I'm not advocating for benefits is just the additional cost of it as well.
Yeah, so I, at 30, okay, so you feel the value should be 25,000 plus benefits because that would be
plus the value of the benefits.
No, I think the value should be $35,000.
That would be the equivalent.
Without like
25,000 cash.
Yeah, with I see your point. Yeah,
would be is that
a different way to do
the same math? We end up in the same spot.
I the reason I land down 30, 35, somewhere in that range, I go back to splitting up duties. And it's actually in the charter, section 6.3, delegation of duties. The first selectman can delegate duties. And I would think that the townspeople would rather see more people doing more things than one person doing all of the things that are responsible for that one position. And we're all coming back to these meetings. We've met, what, 10 times, 12 times already this year in the last 7 weeks? We're all coming back to these meetings and having these discussions where we can talk about, hey, what are we doing that's productive for the town? What are we doing that comes back to the first selectman? I think we need to think about how we use the town's funds to delegate those duties amongst different people rather than saying, hey, this one person needs to spend more time and therefore get more money to be able to do all of these duties that could be split up.
And it helps to build our bench as well.
Yep, you're right. Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that way it's not, hey, if the town were to collapse tomorrow and Jim were to leave, it's not all on Rodney. In 6 months, if we talk about more about delegation between people, then, hey, it would be three of us. Between the three of us, we could have all come together and make that happen. And you know, the tomorrow wouldn't be quite as bad for those three people as it would for Rodney.
Yeah, because it would happen tomorrow. Able to take on the role.
And I didn't hear any public, anybody from the public mentioned 50,000. Everybody, I think there were maybe three or four different people who actually mentioned ranges.
Yeah.
And it was it was all, but I think the highest range somebody mentioned was 40,000, but most were saying
outside of the 70.
Yes, that's right. Outside of Jim and maybe Rich Hayes, but most were 30 to 35. So I feel like that's where the public is landing. So is there any other discussion on the motion?
Just a point of clarification, because it's a salary, I don't know that we can tie a specific date to it after if we include it in a referendum. Like we would be able to say, hey, it's not, the raise may not be paid out until the budget is passed, but we would be able to say, oh, it's not going to be paid out. It's only effective August 16th because the budget passed August 16th and you don't get back pay between July 1st and August 16th. So just a minor clarification there.
David, I think you should not call it a raise.
Don't call it a raise?
No.
Just an increase?
It's a new salary
base
estimate for people who qualify for the position. But it's not really a raise.
Okay. So, David, yeah, your point that the motion reads increase the first selectman salary to $35,000 effective July 1 or upon the passing of the budget, cool. Not to include benefits. So, the comment that you just made about what if the budget doesn't pass until after July 1, how does that tie in with this motion?
So, my point being, if the budget doesn't pass till, let's say, August. There's now 4 weeks pay that the first selectman would get, where everyone else would get their increase once the budget passes. So just tying it to the referendum, I think, would be sufficient.
So,
but it's up to the amendment as he sees fit.
He did say effective July 1 or upon passing of the budget.
Right. Okay.
So no, I'm just trying to, yeah.
Like, but if we go into August again or late July, mm-hmm. then there's those gaps of weeks where there's no pay, no increase in pay.
Yes.
Okay. That was the most wrong. Yes.
Okay. All right. Did you guys follow that?
Yep.
Okay.
Just one more comment.
Yes.
I prefer when we all agree. So it's a lot more fun.
So that's nothing.
Rodney, do you understand what we just, what is your perception of what we just talked about?
$35,000 that's not effective until the
7-1
budget passes.
Or upon the passing of the budget.
So everybody else, all the increases that all the town employees get is on a fixed date, 7/1, and it's just retroactive. For accounting purposes, I don't know how complicated you want to make it, but you'll have to deal with Jill on that. That's your first duty. But I don't really have a comment, Bob. I'd love to, but I got into this job for what it was, and I'm committed for 4 years. So I'm just gonna leave it at that, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 1, 2, 3.
2, 3. Bob?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Okay. So that motion passes.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Good.
No. Thank you. Nice discussion. Thanks, everybody.
We have insurance budget next, if you'd like to stick around.
Yeah, actually, and it is on the document tonight.
And not for the first selection.
What is written, you can't make
thank it. You, everybody.
Until the next fiscal year. You can worry. There's already been plans. Okay.
I'll wait till
next year. Oh,
good.
Until the budget is passed,
that was anything they're trying to make.
You've got to be actually faithful. Call meeting to order. I've got to really pound on the table.
You need a gap.
Right now?
At
the beginning.
That was
all
right.
Not the beginning.
Oh,
take your shot. Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
There.
You hear what?
All right. We're going to go on to the next two items, which are we're going to be discussing the insurance budget and the personnel budget. And Jim Rupert, I see you're on the phone, which is nice. So yep, you can
I'm here.
Help us through this.
There is.
So insurance budget is number 13 in your notebooks. And it's showing a 32% decrease. And it looks like the property and liability insurance has gone down by $54,000. So I guess, Jim, I'm not unhappy about that, but I am kind of curious as to why.
Sometimes some things are too good to be true.
Yeah, too good to be true. So what? Don't tell me that it's just in another budget somewhere. I hope that really is a decrease.
No, it really is a decrease. So if you look at our unaudited actual expenditures for last year, you know, it was roughly $110,000. And the other thing we found, and I think we did briefly discuss this at the last meeting, is that the town has been paying for the insurance for Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority. And I don't know when that, you know, I believe that probably happened since the beginning of the Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority. And that's around $13,000. And so, you know, we've taken that out of the Board of Selectmen's budget and moved that into the Bolton Lakes budget, which is really where it should be. I suspect it was being paid for out of the town of Bolton's budget, probably because in the beginning, Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority didn't have any money. At this point, that is no longer true. They have the ability to pay for this themselves. So We've simply removed it from this budget, and it's being put into the Bolton Lakes budget where it aptly belongs.
So the Bolton Lakes budget is not part of the town of Bolton budget?
It is not. It is a separate budget.
Oh, how is it funded?
Yeah.
It is funded through fees that we collect for sewer usage.
Oh.
So if you were connected to the sewer, you would be charged $105 per quarter for your sewer usage fees.
Okay.
So then, just for the sake of consideration as well, as we look to potentially have more development and the, like, I guess what I'm thinking of specifically too, of with a cider mill property, would, if that were to be developed, would those fees collected be applicable here?
No, it doesn't. It would you would never see it as a revenue on the Board of Selectmen's budget. It's a it would be a revenue through the Bolton Lakes budget.
But the Bolton Lakes also does all the repair and the pumps.
Yeah.
But they can spend money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's how many pumps are out there, Jim?
400. Well, yeah. Pumps, I don't know, but there's approximately 500 accounts.
And these valves alone are hundreds of dollars. They go bad.
Okay, so that account funds all the maintenance required on the system, on the whole system?
It does, yes.
I'll have to tell my parents thanks for the reduction in our budget.
It's similar to the cemetery fund.
Okay. I'm surprised that we haven't done this before. Like, why is this the first year that it's been taken out of the town budget and put over into the lakes budget? Jim, do you know?
I think this is my fourth budget that I've worked on with the Board of Selectmen. And I never thought about it before, I've taken a really, really deep dive on this budget, with what we've had, last year for referendums. We're really looking to try to economize. And I think you see that in the budget that I put forward with you. So we're really trying to be very, very careful here and put together a very responsible budget. And, this is one of those years where I decided I really was going to take a deep dive into insurance. I think we discussed a little bit at the last meeting that I've asked our insurance, our insurance consultant to look at, Gwen, I don't think you were here at the last meeting, but, I've asked our insurance consultant to look at our insurance with, we have two major insurers, and one is Kerma, and the other major insurer is McNeil, which is through Smith Brothers. And McNeil covers the fire department, the fire apparatus, and Kerma covers all of our other stuff, including workers' comp. So, we're really taking a deep dive on insurance this year and making sure that we're not double covered. We want to make sure we're appropriately covered. And, this is really why it got picked up on this year, because we are taking a really scrutinized look at insurance.
Good. All right. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions on the insurance budget? Would you like to take over this meeting?
Sure.
For selectmen? Okay.
Yeah. Personnel budget.
So, and we can go through this a little bit tonight, but, I have asked, Jill is off today, and she's the one that really put this part of the budget together for us. She is going to try to join us on our deliberations budget on the 24th, so we can look at this a little bit, more carefully at that point. But, really, the elephant in the room here is, the medical insurance with an increase of $145,000, $145,488. We were told to budget for a 13 to 15% increase. So right now we are at the 15% increase. I'm not sure where Jill came up with this, because she's showing a 23% increase. So she must be looking at what she believes we will be budgeting for next year, for individuals, for couples, and for family insurance.
So she's thinking there could be a lot of additional insurees?
Well, again, this budget came to us late on the day that we posted it, and I did not have an opportunity to go over it with her. But my suggestion is that we go over it in greater detail when she's with us on the 24th.
I agree.
Yeah.
So it looks like the workers' comp is doing good. I like that.
Yeah, we've had, in the last 2 years, we've had a better history with workers' comp, and that's being reflected in our rates.
And I just to take a quick step back, looking at the medical for town, looking at 24-25 unaudited compared to the request for this year, it's a 32% adjustment overall.
From the actual expended or unaudited?
Unaudited actual expenditures, yeah. Which
that's a lot.
That's a lot. All right. So even taking into account a 15% increase, was there a 2 years of 15% increase? And then are we looking at another year of 15% increase?
So last year we had we ended up with an increase of 12%. So, you know, we were told to budget for between, I want to say, 11 and 14% last year, and we ended up at 12%. I thought we had made an adjustment before the budget went to referendum. But looking at those numbers, I question whether or not we actually made that adjustment last year.
It doesn't look like you did, and I would request that that number would be revisited then, because if it's a 12% increase, that's $40,000 less for adopted versus actual in 2025 to 2026.
Right.
And then that would get compounded by the next increase, and you'd be increasing that additional $40,000 another 15%.
And that differential pays for a first selectman salary.
There you go.
And I know where you're coming from, but that, you know, that honestly, that should not be the case. And if it is the case, then we have a problem, because this is supposed to be zero-based budgeting based on what we actually anticipate, not based on last year's numbers.
Well, the increase from adopted 2024 to adopted 2025 is almost exactly 10.5%. So we get that somewhere in here that the zero-based budgeting has gone away.
It
looks like you're dying to say something.
Not at this time.
Is there any other questions on this personnel services budget?
One question I have. This is rescheduled budget workshop number 6, because we were supposed to meet last Thursday, and it was requested that we push this out because the budget was not yet ready to discuss. But we pushed out to a day that the person who put it together is also not here to discuss. Is this a foreseen absence, Jim?
So she did put time in for that, but I don't know when. I don't know off the top of my head whether she put that in before we pushed the budget or not.
Correct.
She'll definitely be here on the 24th, though.
That was the request, and she said she was planning on it.
We might have more pushback if she's not here, just because we won't be able to defend some of these numbers. Like, we're not going to put up a number that's a 30%+ increase.
We also need her on the 24th, because that's when she's supposed to have our master spreadsheet ready, and she's supposed to be able to manipulate that master spreadsheet for us as we're having our budget deliberation, so we know what the overall impact was. Right, it's one of the reasons that we haven't made any decisions about capital budget or other budget items that we want to discuss, because we want to see what the overall picture is, and we don't have that yet.
Mm-hmm. So she's going to go over this line item for the town medical before she even puts it on the.
Yeah, I think there are some other questions of the personnel category, like payroll and pension as well, that show a minimal percentage change between 25 and 26. But if you go back to unaudited, do show significant changes as well. If there was just, you know, significant percentage increases last year and that they're less significant, or something different. So, I mean, I would, yeah, go ahead, Jim, sorry.
All very fair questions.
So perhaps we just put these budgets back on.
Yeah, this looks like it could be
fictitious. Well, all budgets will be open for discussion at our next meeting. We'll be discussing all of our budgets.
Yeah, most of these we've already had a chance to discuss and be able to look at and find the basis for. So we're coming in with specific, like, you know, notes and comments, whereas this piece now we're going to have to focus on more and give it more attention because we're not able to ask the questions today.
That's accurate.
Yeah, that's the only, yeah.
So we'll be able to get this spreadsheet from her before the meeting of the 25th or 4th, whichever day that was.
If there are anticipated revisions.
Are you talking about the personnel services, or are you talking about the math spreadsheet?
Personnel specifically.
Yeah, the personnel, number 7.
Yep. I will be having, when I looked at this, I had very similar questions to what the board had. So I will be having a discussion so that we can prepare some explanations.
Thank you.
Now on the agenda, there's other budget. Any other questions on the personnel? Because it's not really.
Not for me at this time. Okay. No, not on that.
On the other budget discussions.
So then I guess timing, because I'm new here too. So we anticipate having a large scale or a broader discussion of all of our budgetary items on the 24th.
Until we have them all listed, we don't know what the bottom lines are. Right.
And then we do anticipate to be able to have that conversation.
That's right.
On the 24th.
Yeah. So, you know, this 10,000 will come out and 10,000 will go away and this 30,000 will go in. It just keeps on back and forth. And in theory, while we're doing that, Jill will be able to put it in the spreadsheet so we can see it live.
Wonderful.
All right. Is there any other?
See if there's any formulas or anything in that spreadsheet.
For those of you who love looking at formulas and that kind of stuff.
Well, we're talking about zero-based budgeting, so there shouldn't be any formulas if it's zero-based budgeting.
Except additions. Yeah. I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
That was
second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you, Jim. And I hope all is going well there.
Good night.
Good night.
See you tomorrow.
That's good night, Bob. You left Barry dashing.
Kind of joke that only somebody who appreciates that.
Love the hat, Bob.
And I don't fall in that category.
When you said,
you have.
Yeah, that's almost the exact number. That's
thank you, Bob. Have a good night, everyone.
And it's
thank you.
10497 something.
Oh, I got
almost exactly.